Sports Network from Learfield, live from CBN Potts. This is the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show, brought to you by Coors Light. Grab an ice-cold Coors Light and a designated driver this game day. And remember that 21 means 21. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Powered by Ford Trucks. Built Ford Tough. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now live, the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Here is your host, Brian Roth.
All right, we welcome you back to another edition of the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show as we come to you live in Fort Collins. We're at CBN Potts as we have an hour to talk Colorado State Ram football with the head football coach at Colorado State, Mr. Mike Bobo. Brian Roth with you. Great to have everybody with us. Rams coming off a tough one against Air Force last Saturday, but Colorado State, despite the setback, still sit at 4-1 in Mountain West Conference play, and the Rams still control their destiny towards the Mountain West Conference championship, which, of course, is the goal at the start of the season. Coach Mike Bobo joining us. Coach, how are you, sir? You doing well?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. Obviously a tough one last week, really tough. I know it was tough for me and tough for the players. I know it's tough for our Ram fans. I do appreciate the fans that we had in the game. I thought it was an awesome environment. I just wish we'd have gave them a little more to cheer about.
Yeah, and I was the game aside. I was talking to Dr. Tony Frank, president of Colorado State, in the third quarter, and I said, Dr. Frank, 6 years ago when you guys started down this path to build a new on-campus stadium, this had to be what you had in mind. A Saturday autumn afternoon, rivalry matchup, sold out crowd. I mean, it just felt so good, didn't it?
It was a beautiful day. The sun was out. I had to come out of my sweatshirt during the game. I was a little little warm, and just really appreciate our fans coming out again. Mm-hmm. It was a packed house, and our players really do appreciate that. And I wish we'd have given them a little more to cheer about, but hopefully we'll go take care of business this week in Laramie.
Yeah, again, Colorado State falls to Air Force last Saturday, but we'll try to bounce back against Wyoming Cowboys. That'll be a 5 o'clock kickoff from War Memorial Stadium up in Wyoming as the Rams and the Falcons will battle for the Bronze Boot once again. The Air Force offense, you knew coming in they were going to be really good, Mike, and you knew what they like to do. They like to control the clock, and that's certainly what they were able to do against you guys. 42 minutes time of possession out of the 60 for the Air Force offense.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, and it's one of those things. I know it was probably uncomfortable for our fans to sit through, but it was like a slow death. They had a couple of explosive plays there, but it was just 5, 6, 7, and just grinding first down after first down and eating the clock. And I felt like, and that's how when you play one of those teams, that's how it usually goes. You're going to give up some plays. You'll give them some rushing yardage. But, when you get them in some third down situations, that's when you got to try to, get a stop. And we were unable to get, a stop except for that one third and seven, and we had them some other third downs and we weren't able to get a stop. I felt like we could move the ball offensively and keep pace with them and hopefully get a stop and get ahead, which we did. And then, then we turned it over. Which wasn't good, and we turned it over again right there at the end of the second half, and down 7, but tie it back up, make it 28-28, and then they proceed to go on a 10-minute drive there after the start of the third quarter, and we weren't able to answer, and when we didn't answer, the lead went from 3 to 10, and we got in too big of a hole too late in the game.
Yeah, are you a tennis guy at all?
I played tennis in high school. I grew up playing until I was about 11 or 12.
So you were 11
or 12, and then I quit. And then I actually got back into tennis my junior year because there was this girl that I wanted to play. She was on the tennis team. So yeah, I decided.
That's the way it usually goes.
Yeah, so I decided to play tennis my junior and senior year.
folks might be wondering why I'm asking that, but it felt a little Hold like
serve.
A tennis. Right. You're talking about every time you had the football, it's like you were at the service line and you were trying to hold your serve, and the team that broke the other team's serve more times was going to come up with the win.
They were hitting ground strokes and patient. They were one of those long rallies and we were I was trying to hit aces every time on offense and go for the home run and it backfired. the ground strokes prevailed.
The ground strokes, yeah, I like that. And then, yeah, you mentioned 28-28, so you got it back to Deuce, and then they went up ad with that field goal, and then obviously took the set. But we talked about it last week's program. When you go up against an offense like that, and you know you're going to get limited offensive possessions, there's an inherent pressure in there that it gets added to your offense or the opponent of Air Force's offense that, hey, we've got to score. Yeah. We've got to get going. We don't know when we're going to get the ball again.
That's a great point, and it's something you talk about, you know, with your team. I talked about the word patience and having patience and realize that, you know, we're going to have to be patient and stick to the plan, and there's going to be some pressure to answer, and we got to maximize our possessions. And, you know, I talked about it after the game, you know, on the first interception. It's one of those we'd like to take a sack. But, you know, I was going for a home run too.
Yeah.
You know, I was going for another shot. I thought we had a bunch of shots in what they were playing. And you know, and maybe I got a little bit impatient too, you know, and the pressure, hey, I want to get a score right now and answer them right now. And it backfired for us. And, you know, then we get a penalty on the holding call, on the touchdown, a holding that backed us up. And, you know, we'd like to not get an interception there and get some points. And it's the, you know, you feel like it's almost like, you know, we've seen those guys and that, you know, a lot of times I can't sleep at night and watch the NFL Network or watch old games a lot of times. And then sometimes that poker after dark, you know, is on, and you hear about
those
guys.
That's always entertaining.
You hear about those guys that lose a couple hands and they get, what is the word, tilt.
Right.
You know, and then they start, you know, doing things that they normally wouldn't do.
Sure.
And that's kind of what an option team will do to you. It'll kind of get you on tilt where you try to, you know, put more of your chips out there than you should instead of just sticking to the game plan.
Yep, absolutely. And I don't want you to comment on this, but I went back and watched the game last night after I put the kids to bed and just with like a big bowl of candy on my lap. And the holding call that wiped off the Dawkins touchdown was absolutely awful. So I don't want you to do that because I don't want to get you in trouble. But I think it was Ben Knox. And,
no, it was Jeff Taylor.
It was Jeff Taylor. Sorry,
it was Jeff Taylor, and he pancaked him.
It
was a right guard, and he really did pancake him. But I think the guy tripped on the nose, and it looked like, you know, a lot of times when you pancake a guy, they think, well, they can't pancake him. You had to hold him or take him down. And you know, we were wearing the pink for good calls, and I think Aaron Murray commented on TV that, you know, if he wasn't wearing the pink gloves, he might not have seen.
Right.
You know, so maybe we need to wear gloves of the other team's jersey.
Right, some white gloves would have done the trick last week.
So what we may there will they wear brown?
Saturday it'll be brown gloves.
So we need to wear brown gloves on Saturday.
Well, I saw that call, and I wasn't sure if I liked it. I knew I didn't like
it. No, we
it
didn't
when
it like
first
it.
Happened, but I watched it again, and they showed a replay on it. And again,
It is what it is.
They
called holding, and it wasn't. You know, it's still second down. It's second and 18, and the next decision, they played a two man, a cover two, and had everybody covered. And you know, right there is we got to just get up and run the ball, throw the ball away.
Right.
And it's that pressure you're talking about, and Nick's trying to make a play, and probably forced that one and wish he had that one back, and it happens.
Yeah, Nick, a guy that's been so good, and I know I'm going to take full blame on those interceptions. You told me last week that I apologize. I brought up that he didn't have any interceptions in conference play, and he had those, but, you know.
He did, didn't he?
I mean, it's
just foreshadowing that it was about to happen.
I know. It's the old broadcaster's jinx, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's why you don't mention the
Well, talk about how bad he is this week, Saturday, and how he hasn't completed any balls, and he's probably going to throw an interception here. And just be negative, Nancy. It might work.
I can do that. So, yeah, Stevens was awful. I mean, you're imagining he's going to – as bad as he played last week, you imagine he's going to have a bounce back.
Nick has played awesome for us. I'm so proud of Nick, the leader he has become for this football team. And, you know, we're where we are right now and the way we're playing offensively, and a big credit goes to him. And like I told him after the game, I said, you know, you're going to put a lot of pressure on yourself and a lot of blame, and, you know, people outside this building and inside this room are going to say, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, and I just want you to know I believe in you. I said, you and your wife, turn off your Twitter. Don't get on Twitter. And know that Coach and this team has your back, and let's get ready to go play Wyoming.
Well, along those lines, let me ask you, as a former player, now Twitter was not around back when you were a player, but How hard is it coming off a game like that as a player to tune out what the outside noise
is? It's hard on both aspects. It's hard when
after
you're playing,
a big win too.
Playing really well and everybody right. wants to tell you how good you are and you've thrown 14 touchdowns and no interceptions and then everybody wants to tell you how bad you are. You know, that was my message to the team after the game. You know, obviously disappointed in the way we played and, you know, we physically got whipped on the defensive side of the ball. And I said, that's on us as coaches. That's on us as players. We got to take accountability. I said, but at the same time, I said, we got to respond. I said, everybody outside this program is going to say, I'm a terrible coach. We got terrible coordinators. We got a terrible quarterback. We got terrible secondary. We got everything that's wrong with this program. Okay. And that's okay. That's okay. That's part of it. We signed up for it when I became a coach. You know, these players, that's part of playing this path. I said, but we got to stay together and we got to respond as a football team by how we go to work this week. And really, in reality, that's the same message when we win to those guys. You know, and a lot of times it goes on deaf ears because we're young. Even when we're, you know, older guys, you know, it's human nature to sometimes get complacent when some guys want to tell you how good you are. And like my message today, you know, to the guys, I said, you know, there's pressure. There's pressure on this football team when there's expectations of where we want to go. And a lot of these expectations are because we built a brand new stadium. You know, we built this stadium, then we better perform, okay? But that's okay. We want to be here at a place that has high expectations and high standards, all right? I wouldn't want anybody that didn't want high expectations. And then there's pressure, you know, when you've got these expectations and you fail. We failed last week, you know. We failed as a football program. I failed as a head coach. We failed, you know, we failed as the Colorado, representing Colorado State. So now there's more pressure. You know, you can either run and hide, all right, and succumb to that pressure, or you can respond. And I expect our coaches and our players to respond.
Yep, indeed. You get that opportunity coming up on Saturday night
CBN
against
Pots,
Wyoming.
The Collins
and Corzine, Mike Bobo coaches show here on the Colorado State
the Cowboys.
Sports
right, we'll
Network.
Brian
Rock back with the head football coach at Colorado State.
Coaches
show tonight brought to you by Bank of Colorado, where CSU is more than just a school. Rams are more than just our team, and Colorado is more than just our state. It's our state of mind. Bank of Colorado, there is only one Bank of Colorado. All right, again, the Rams are going to move on, take on Wyoming coming up on Saturday evening, a 5 p.m. kickoff. And before we dive into the Cowboys, wanted to ask you about that Michael Gallup touchdown catch, though, in the first quarter. Michael Gallup continues to do things that I know, at least us, and you see him on a daily basis, Mike, but he continues to do things each and every game where you're just, like, shaking your head. Unbelievable. I mean, how good was that? I called it like a Willie Mays style catch. How good of a catch was that in your book?
It was an unbelievable adjustment.
And that's not easy to do.
No. He made it look easy, though.
Right.
You know, to make the catch, then keep his feet, and then break the tackle and score. Just an unbelievable play. Thought it was a good throw by Nick, but it was even better catch by Mike, and it was right after the turnover. And I thought we would get more. A lot of times people after a turnover would play their base defense, you know, where they want to be the most sound, you know, to protect against a big play. And they actually played a man, you know, a man. And it wasn't the exact look that we thought, but we still ended up with one-on-one, and it was a great route by him and really great execution off a little trick play. But the catch, you know, the catch was unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was. And you guys, again, coming off that turn, almost on the same part of the field what Nevada did to you guys, where you guys fumbled. And then next play, they run a trick play for a touchdown. And this was kind of a trick play where you had Dietrich Clark as the quarterback in the Wildcat formation.
Well, it's just a good opportunity to try to gain. You know, you just got momentum, and it's a good opportunity to take a shot. And, you know, and you would think that every defense should know that, hey, they're taking a shot. But a lot of times your best shots are against when you know what they're going to be in their base stuff, where you design something off of that. And that's what we did. They didn't play their base, but we still got one-on-one and made a great throw and a great catch.
All right, Michael Gallup, with his stand-up performance, now has 1,167 receiving yards. That's number one in the nation. And, you know, Mike, I just on Twitter, so it's unbelievable. He keeps doing it. Now, this is on social media, on Twitter, and you see random stuff thrown out there. But folks are starting to talk about Michael Gallup as being – not just a draftable kid coming up next spring in the NFL draft, but possibly as a high-round draft pick. What are your thoughts on Michael and how he translates to the next level?
Well, I think he's got unbelievable size and strength. He's got more than adequate speed. He's not a 4.4 guy, but he can run. You see him run away from people. And then the thing that I think is really going to help him when he goes to the next level, he's not even close to the receiver that he's going to be in 3, 4, 5 years because he's still so raw at running routes and learning to play the position, and he's only going to improve, you know, Lord willing, he stays healthy.
Yeah, Ben, that's always a big key. So, again, Gallup continues to impress. And then how about this for quarterback Nick Stevens? He is one pass, touchdown pass away from tying the school record set by Garrett Grayson of 64. Two touchdown passes. Nick Stevens will be the all-time school's leader in career touchdown passes. And
there you go again.
I know.
He probably won't throw one on Saturday because you said that.
Well, he's going to get to it. He's going.
I know Nick Stevens wants to get that record, but I know he wants to hold up that boot more than anything.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. And as a senior, a guy that's already held it in his hands, that certainly is on the forefront of your team. So we're talking about Colorado State players currently that are amongst the best all time in the school's history. Did you have a chance to mingle with any of the Hall of Fame class that went in last week? Cecil Sapp was there, a former Ram running back that was so good, and that David Anderson was also there, a guy that held along those receiving records. You get a chance. I know you're so busy during the course of the weekend. Their
kind of banquet or dinner was Friday night, and I was with the team, so I didn't get to go to that. But I did see some of the guys on the sideline Saturday and get to shake their hand, make sure I went and found Cecil Sapp after the game, you know, and told him how much I appreciated him coming back. And then, you know, the great thing, you know, and I shook his hand and said, thank you for coming. Sorry we didn't, you know, represent you the right way today. But the great thing about him, after my media and everything, I'm walking back through the locker room and I'm trying to just find guys and talk to guys and, you know, tell them what we've got next, you know, kind of individually. And I see Cecil Sapp, and he's got four of our running backs out in the hallway. And it's, I think it was Dawkins, it was Boddy, it was Darius May, and maybe Izzy. And he was talking to them about what it meant to be a Ram and the things that they can do and how important special teams were and just, you know, and these kids are all in, these running backs we have. You know, we only play in two right now,
right,
the last five games, really. But these guys work their tail off every day in practice. They're playing on special teams. And then here's a great Ram to come back and telling them what it meant for him to be a Ram and then how important what they're doing, you know, part of this program, I thought was awesome of him, really.
Yeah, no, there's no question. That's, you know, I mean, listen, guys can come back, be honored, and still not want to necessarily go and touch the guys in the program. And for Cecil to do that, I think shows a lot.
It's important for him to do that. Shows what kind of person he is.
Right.
But I think it's important for our kids to know that it's not just them. You know, it's not this. They're not the only Rams, or this stadium isn't because of them. It's because of guys like Cecil Sapp and guys like Tom Ellers sitting over there in that corner that have been here a long time. And, you know, there's nobody, you know, those guys, when you see those guys come back, and Tom's been part of all the, you know, the planning and the stadium and really been here forever and seen this university and this athletic department football program grow. But when you see guys come back and they hadn't been back in a while and they're just, oh, my gosh, this place, and the sense of pride comes on over them that, you know, of course they tell us how, you know, this wasn't like this when we were here. This is where we had to meet. But they're also proud that this is their university. And that's what we represent, you know, those people. And we've got something to uphold. And I talk about all the time a responsibility to those guys.
Yeah, but again, Cecil Sapp back in town. We had him on the radio broadcast. David Anderson, of course, was a part of our broadcast right after the NFL. Just terrific, terrific Rams. And you had one of your former players in town. You mentioned Aaron Murray, the former Georgia quarterback, who was a part of the broadcast team for CBS. When you get together with a former quarterback, how much is it all football talk?
He actually came to dinner Thursday night.
At your house, right?
And I don't know how many Bachelor fans are out here that know about Aaron's brother, Josh, that was on The Bachelor, and then he was on one of those Bachelor in Paradise. He won it. So it was my wife had a friend from Athens in town, and it was those two women talking to Aaron Murray about Josh's experiences at the Bachelor. In the Bachelor. Right. So
that's
what
almost like talking football.
Yeah, well, I got up and went and watched the football game. It was Bachelor talk and, you know, reality show talk. But did get to spend a good bit. I picked him up Friday morning at the hotel and, you know, showed him the stadium. And he got a chance to work out in our stadium, got him some Colorado State gear, got a chance to visit with Nick. And one of my all-time favorites because he is the ultimate grinder. You know, you probably saw – I don't know if you saw Aaron. He's not that tall.
Not very big.
He doesn't have really big hands. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but he is a grinder and a competitor. And you know, he's the all-time leading passer in SEC history. And he's not the 6'4", 240-pound kid with a cannon. He's just he's one of those guys that I love to coach that kind of wills his way every Saturday.
Yeah, and I know he had a chance to sit down with Nick Stevens as part of some of those production meetings. I'm curious if Nick and Aaron got a chance to go on the side and trade Mike Bobo stories.
You know, these guys probably think I'm a you know what, but I was a lot rougher when I was a coordinator and a position coach.
So, right, a little younger.
You know, I mean, Aaron Murray's mother has called me on several occasions, and you know, I don't know if you ever heard of rolling somebody. You know, where they have to lay down and they roll 100 yards. You know, Aaron was not performing real well. Instead of running, I started to roll him, and oh. I got a call from his mother, and she told me how inhumane that was. But Lauren loves me now. But I was rough on her son, but I'm not as rough on these guys now.
Right. No, I'm sure you've mellowed in your old age.
It's a little bit
here,
different
Mike.
When you know the head coach says right. something. Sometimes guys get a little bit more sensitive. But I mean, I still get after it at times, but I'm not like I was a few years ago.
Well, I guess that begs the question: When was the last time you rolled somebody here?
The last time was after Aaron Murray's mother called me. I haven't done it since.
You haven't done.
That's what my dad did to me growing up.
I had to
roll
heard of that.
Yeah,
and you'd have to go the entire 100 yards.
Well, it depends on how mad they are at you.
Right. Could be just 10 or 15.
No, it's at least 100. And then you're dizzy and you're throwing
right,
up.
Welcome back here to CBN Potts. We hit for it.
It used to be roll 100, then you do the little bear crawl
with head coach Mike Bobo. Happy to have everybody aboard as the Rams get set for the board of war against Wyoming.
I didn't mess up again.
Saturday night, 5 p.m. is the kickoff.
That's right. It's a good punishment.
We'll go those
are always lessons. You got to be careful what you do nowadays.
Saturday afternoon. All right, time for our injury report. As always, it's brought to you by UC Health with more clinical trials and advanced treatments than any other health system to reach the game changers in medicine.
Colorado State Rams football with Coach Bobo.
UC Health. Okay, injury report, and you were without B.C. Johnson last week.
Let me read who you got injured here. So, well, BC Johnson did not play last week at an MCL. He's been doing some routes on the side this week. He's moving around. And actually, I'm cautiously optimistic. He did some punt return drills today. So there's an outside chance. It's only Wednesday that he could possibly, you know, play some on Saturday. We're still a wait and see. You know, he's got to get – the ultimate thing is we got to make sure that he's – you know, he's healthy and is stable. If he's a little bit unsure, then he's not able to go full speed, and then that's when usually you get injured. But I feel good after watching him run around today. Dietrich Clark, you know, he's not 100% with his shoulder, but he's going to play. He's looked good this week. I'm reading who all you got down here.
Toby McBride, you announced that
he's out for the season.
That's not indefinitely anymore.
Yeah, he's out for the season right now with his back. You know, it will end up probably this will be a redshirt year for him because he didn't play past four games. So,
and that's the silver lining.
That's
in
the silver lining for him. Trey Moxley got a little banged up yesterday and will be in the concussion protocol. So, you know, that's something that's got to be cleared from our doctors, but he looked better today. Izzy Matthews has got a little bit of an ankle, but I feel like he'll be good to go defensively. Max McDonald ended up playing last week, a little bit of a limited role just because he didn't practice as much, but he'll be back to full strength this week. Josh Watson went out a couple times last week with a little bit of a shoulder stinger, but he should be good to go. I don't know if I'm missing anybody, but the main one is that didn't play last week is BC.
Right.
and he's still questionable.
Yeah, Dietrich Clark, I know you had him back on most kickoff returns outside of the first one of the game, which was Marvin Kinsey Jr. How much did he play offensively for you? Did he play many snaps? He did not practice much
right. all week, and we had moved Warren into the slot, and Marcus Wilson played the flanker, and then Michael Gallup played the split into the boundary. Dietrich played a little bit. He didn't play a lot of plays because he just didn't practice.
Right.
But he's practiced this week. He'll be good to go. And the plan wasn't for him to return kickoffs, but after the first one, I put him back there.
Yeah, and I had a feeling that that was the case of why we saw Dietrich Clark returning kickoffs. You mentioned Warren Jackson, and here's a kid who hadn't caught a ball since the Alabama game, I believe. Going into the New Mexico game, right? And then it was pretty good in the New Mexico game. Obviously, he had one that went through his hands, but came back for you last week, called upon to have a bigger role, and he had three catches, 50 yards, but two of those catches were two very, very big third down receptions.
Well, he's such a big target. He's still a freshman. He's still learning the offense, but I think he has a huge upside. It's hard to cover big people. He's not a blazer, but he runs good routes. He's got good change of direction. He's got good hands. You know, the start the game, we were going to take shots. We were going to try to back them off a little bit. I didn't plan on being on the 4-yard line, you know, to start the game. But I said, all right, let's go ahead, let's do it, and we went 0-for-2.
Yep.
And they came in third down. Our best third down play was the matchup versus Warren versus either their nickel or the safety. And we called that the first third down, and he won, converted. We ended up going to score the first drive, and then he had a big third down catch later versus tight coverage. I can't remember his third catch, to be honest, but he's a target for us. He's learning to play multiple positions, you know, because he was backing up Mike. Now he's played some slot. He's played some flanker. He's going to constantly improve for us and continue to be an asset for us the remainder of the year and in the future.
Yeah, you know, I imagine for him to have to shuffle a few positions and take on more of responsibility is just going to make him a better player this year, but going down the road.
He's getting more reps with the ones and with Nick Stevens, and their comfort level's increasing with the more reps. So I think Nick feels real comfortable about him, and the more Warren plays, the more confidence he'll get, and we can't be afraid not to call his number. And a lot of times routes or where the ball goes is dictated by coverage, and I feel good with him out there as a matchup. He's a little different than your normal slot because he's 6'5", but he's a matchup nightmare over the middle.
Right, and Robert Awangani, I imagine, will continue to get reps for you. You mentioned taking two shots early to start the game. First one was to Gallup. The second one was to Awangani.
Yeah, the first one I thought Nick threw a really good ball, and Mike just didn't really, when I say hold your line, you've got to hold your line and try to catch it over your outside shoulder. He tried to fade and catch it over the inside shoulder, allow the DB to get a hand on it. It was really a good ball by Nick and should have been a completion. The second one, Robert so fast, he just outran Nick's arm, and Robert had to slow down, and, you know, there was some contact there. We didn't get the call. But Robert has speed. He has changed the direction. He's got to work on his ball skills. Like I told him today, what's the number one prerequisite to be a receiver?
And got to catch it.
Got to catch it. Well, Marvin Kinsey answered for him. He goes, you got to catch it. And then Robert came back and said, what's the prerequisite for playing running back? Hold on the ball. So they were kind of getting after each other a little bit. Got to have a little fun.
Yes.
And people can't be sensitive either. You know, you gotta take it.
No, that's right. That's right. It's sometimes when you do that boys' weekend, if you know, and you go and I do it with my golfing buddies, or my high school buddies. If you're wearing thin skin up at that
my,
thing,
my wife
you're in
hates
trouble.
When my guys come around. She's like, I don't understand why y'all even hang around each other. Why y'all like each other?
Because you're just so mean to each other, right?
It's brutal.
Well, you guys get into November now, Mike, and one thing that has been very clear in your first 2 years here at Colorado State that you guys have been a good November team. Why is that?
Well, I think it's just the consistency of doing what we needed to do on a weekly basis. And, you know, the one thing I have been proud of the first 2 years is has been the improvement as a football team and playing well late in the season. And that's, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. But I think, you know, the number one thing is the continuity and the coaches being all in and being on the same page, the same message, no matter what's happening, never wavering on the process that we're trying to do to build a product on the field. And that carries from me to the coaches and the coaches to the players and the players that believe and bought in and continue to play. And the great thing about, we got a lot of work to do, but where we are right now as a football team at 4-1 in conference, heading into November, it's a little bit different than the last 2 years.
You can hit us up at CSU Rams Radio, or you can hit me up, Brian H. Roth, ask a question for the coach. All right, this one from Joe Joseph on a roll here this season. How much more does the wind affect games at the new stadium compared to Hughes, meaning it with the open end where the porch is? Is the wind different inside the new stadium than inside Hughes?
You know, I've obviously only 2 years in Hughes and the first year in the new stadium, and, you know, Coach Ellers might be better able to answer this question, but to me, I thought you had more gust in the old stadium because of that tunnel. It kind of came in that tunnel, and it just it seemed like the wind blew a little bit harder, you know, had a harder time when you were kicking that way to kick it out of the end zone, where I feel in the new stadium when the wind's blowing, we can still kick it either way. And the wind was blowing pretty good on Saturday.
Yep.
But it didn't feel like when we went out to Hughes to practice or play a game when the wind was blowing. I mean, it felt like it was ripping through there, that stadium.
Right. Let me dovetail off that question from Joe. And, Joe, thank you. Appreciate that. The weather coming up on Saturday, of course, it's always windy in Laramie. I've never been in Laramie where it has not been windy. But
2 years ago or 3 years ago, it wasn't windy.
It wasn't
all.
Windy?
No,
okay. And that's not a shot at the good people of Laramie. I love Laramie. I've spent a lot of time up in Laramie. But it's on the high plains of Wyoming. You're 7,200 feet in the above sea level. But calling for some gusty winds on Saturday, how much does a forecast and wind in the forecast affect your game plan without giving up too much?
Well, I mean, you
look at it.
Yeah, I look at it, and Coach is, you know, walks in and gives me he's like my dad with the weather report every, you know, 7 days out. It's supposed to be this and this. You know, this is what it's going to be. And it's like I told the team, I don't care if it's 40-mile-an-hour gusts. I don't care if it's spitting snow. I don't care if it's raining. We're going to go play. And obviously, you can sit here and you're going to have things that you might do with the wind, you might not going into a game. And I think you got to adjust during the game. And a lot of it, kicking game, it affects dramatically, whether you're kicking with it or against it. You know, do you use alternative kicks? Do you rugby? Do you squib to kick off? You know, are you going to scout, you know, using timeouts? You know, if it's that bad at a change of quarter, if like, hey, I got to call timeout right here when I normally wouldn't so I can have the wind at my back to punt it. Or I'm going to call timeout right here right now to make sure that they have to punt into the wind. So those will be the things that I'm thinking about, you know, during the game and, you know, how the game's going of when we attack. And it was a little bit windy in Utah State, but they're calling for some serious gusts there. But it's, I mean, we still got to go play. You know, even though he has a strong arm, and if it's blowing that bad, it's going to affect both teams.
Yep, yep.
You know, maybe he'll miss his throws. You know, they won't travel 60. Now they'll travel 80.
you of course, talking about Josh Allen. We'll get to Josh here in a second. Yeah, when you have two similar teams, like Colorado State and Wyoming, in terms of kind of the offense you run, the run and pass kind of equally, it's both teams have to play in it. Last week, and again, I don't expect you to comment on this, but last week when you played, there's some gusty winds and winds, and you're playing a team like Air Force, certainly not going to affect them the same way it would have
No,
would've
it
affected.
Didn't. I asked Coach Calhoun before the game, I said, will this a wind affect the pitch? He said, I don't know. You know, it was kind of joking, and he didn't think it was too funny. But, I mean, this definitely plays a factor in the game, but it wasn't where we couldn't throw the ball last week. And then obviously we've got, you know, really good numbers and we throw the ball every week. We've got a receiver that's caught over 1,000 yards of balls, but we can run the ball too.
Yep.
You know, we got the leading, you know, conference games. Daylon Dawkins is averaging almost 9 yards a carry. I think he's averaging more yards per carry than any running back in the conference. And Izzy's a good player. So we can play both brands of ball.
Yep.
And I think, you know, we'll see how the weather is on Saturday. But the thing I've learned about, you know, being out here in my 2.5 years, that weather can change in a heartbeat. So, I mean, it might be sunny Saturday. You never know.
Yeah, there's no question. And you got a great taste of that on Sunday into Monday. It went from like 80 down to about 35, and that's just the way it goes.
And it was beautiful today, you know. We had a little bit of wind to start practice today, and I was glad. So we got to throw some balls in the wind. And
made sure you threw in the wind.
It was gusting, you know, really good gust. And then we did punt return in the wind. It worked both directions, so that was good for us. We'll see on Saturday.
All right, again, Saturday, the Board of War 109th meeting, playing for that bronze boot, 5 p.m., Rams and the Cowboys from War Memorial Stadium in Laramie. And another question from Twitter. This one's from Steve. How does the Colorado State-Wyoming rivalry compare with some of the rivalries you've been a part with in the been a part of in the past?
Well, I think it compares with some of the best rivalries in the country. You know, we're just talking over there. It's 109 years.
Yeah.
You know,
118 years it has been played, but this is the 109th meeting.
Okay. I got it. Oldest rivalry west of the Mississippi. Is that correct?
Is that right, Dave? Dick? Okay. Yes, that's right. I got to go to the older statesman
that's who, they just fill me in.
That's right.
But when you talk about this rivalry, there's tradition in both schools. There's passionate fan bases that love this game, you know, and since I've been here, you know, you hear a lot of stories about a lot of games against a lot of teams, but you hear more stories about this year back in 19-whatever and Laramie. We went there and had this game, and they were ranked this, and we won this, you know, or we were in Fort Collins, or even heartaches. You know, it's you hear more stories about that game, so you can tell that this is an important game to both fan bases, and it's important to us. That was a question I asked our team the last 2 days. How important is it to you? How important is this ball game to you? And, you know, it's important to both fan bases, and it sure looked like it was important to them last year when they sprinted across the field and grabbed that boot.
Yeah.
I'm looking
CSU
forward to playing this game.
Coach Mike Bobo, and Brian Roth back with you.
Yep.
Hey,
fans,
don't forget Foothills is the spot to go spring your post game. You can enjoy more than a dozen restaurants and eateries.
One final timeout. We'll be back and talk more
pedestrian walkway on College Avenue. It's a stress free max trip to the stadium. You can visit shopfoothills.com for more details. All right, the Rams and the Cowboys on Saturday night from Laramie, 5 p.m. is the start time on that one. Wyoming coming in at 5-3. They're 3-1 overall. And they're coming off a 42-3 victory over the New Mexico Lobos. And, of course, you talk about Wyoming offensively. You got to start with their quarterback, Josh Allen. He's a first-round draft pick, according to just about everybody out there. 6'5", 240 pounds. Mike, what do you see when you see Josh Allen?
Well, you see a guy that's as physically gifted as anybody across the country or anybody I've seen. Unbelievable arm strength. Really good size and speed, and has really good strength. He can do a lot of things inside the pocket and outside the pocket. Showed great mental toughness this year, kind of working through some of their problems, and I think their offense is starting to gain some confidence.
Yeah, he's kind of a kamikaze type guy, too. Did you see his scramble last week, which was impressive in its own right? And then he tries to jump over a would-be tackler at the end of the play.
I mean, it's over and over when you watch film, how many sacks he gets out of. I mean, you see a quarterback stiff-arming D lineman and throwing him down with one hand. You know, and we got to stay in coverage, too. You're thinking, hey, getting tackling, but we can't come off a guy because he'll launch the ball 40 to 50 yards downfield.
Yeah, right. He can make a throw on the run that just other quarterbacks, just quite simply put,
they can't
cannot make. Right.
No.
Okay, defensively, I mean, this is really where they've been terrific this year. Mike, 24 takeaways, leads the nation. And then how about the turnover margin? They're plus 16 in turnovers this year.
Yeah, it wasn't just last week. They're number one in the country in turnover margin. They have an experienced defense. They tackle as well as anybody I've seen on tape. They play with tremendous effort. You know, they're very sound in what they do. And, you know, they're going to make some plays defensively. You know, they're going to cause us some problems, but we got to be willing to stick with the plan and keep hammering away, and hopefully we can have some big plays. But, you know, defensively, they're a really good football team.
Yeah, three defensive touchdowns on the season for Wyoming. They have two special teams touchdowns on kickoff returns with a kid named Tyler Hall. Well, it should be a fun one, and I know you're gonna enjoy the trip up to the border on Friday, right, with the boot.
I am. I'm excited about going up there. That's a great tradition that both schools do, and looking forward to going up there and representing Colorado State.
All right, Mike, we'll see you up in Laramie.
All right, man.
Okay. Head coach Mike Bobo joining us here on the Coach's Show. For everybody, including Bob Greenfield, who is, well, happy birthday to Bob. His birthday is tomorrow. I'm Brian Roth saying so long from CBN Potts in Fort Collins on the Colorado State Sports Network.